sul critico dito.
Oh no, can we go out? Can we start again?
Weirdly, I think we've done an Italy. Have we done an Italy?
We have done an Italy.
We have, haven't we?
We have done an Italy.
Okay, we're noping out of Italy. I tell you what, we're going in a warp pipe. We are plumbers. We're Italian plumbers. And then suddenly the pipe appears and we're not in Italy anymore. Yahoo! We're in the Mushroom Kingdom. Hey!
Can we go back to Italy?
Boing, boing. And I get a mushroom. Nom, 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 nom. I grow much bigger because I am the game's master. And I am running this game of Critical Ditto. But I'm not doing this alone. No, because it's like a four-player co-op of Super Mario Wonder. And I've got some other players here with me. Firstly, to my right is Ali Hill. Ali, what are you doing in the Mushroom Kingdom?
Well, Stu, as is tradition, I am a green little dinosaur that goes and eats eggs. I'm the Yoshi of this podcast, otherwise known as Kenny Mullet. I'll save Rainbow Road for David. Kenny Mullet.
I might be curious. How dare you? All right, fine.
I've dreamed of the day.
Google Mario characters.
Stu, jump on my back and let me take you through a little ride I like to call Kenny Mullet.
Sure,
Kenny is an empathetic young man who's found out about poker powers and now is using those poker powers to save the world. He's got some Pokemon helping him out. An assortment of various sized mushrooms, otherwise known as Decidueye the Bowtie, Moustache the Gyarados, Salazzle, Hoops the Salazzle, a Spiritomb called Swirly, and then he traded away some others for ones that are fainted, so won't see the light of day. But those are the main four at the moment. We've got a fainted Garvantula and some other ones as well. And oh dear, I seem to have swallowed David Leavesley. Let me just.
Whoops.
Yeah, there he goes. There's the egg. The egg's cracking. Hiya, David. Welcome to the world.
Hello, everybody. I'm playing everybody's gay icon of the Mario series, and I know what you're thinking, Birdo. Absolutely not. Waluigi? Maybe. No, it's the Princess of Masara Land, the Sloane Ranger of the Mushroom Kingdom, Princess Daisy.
Daisy!
Always, of course it's Daisy, of course it's Daisy.
Always forgotten, always well-dressed. There's no greater gay icon than her. Speaking of iconic brunettes that also rule over large kingdoms, ooh, I am David, who plays Theo, the leader of the Church of Slowking. And on my team, I have a Medicham. I have a... This document is becoming so chaotic at this stage. I have a Slowpoke. I have Fedora the Honchcrow from Ali. And then there's a lot of knocked out purple. And we got back Cabbage the Caboose.
Skitty.
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
How can we forget?
As all of you yelled, no, do Barbaracle! And I just chose emotion every time. And on the subject of choosing emotion or even chaos every time, let me pass over to the last member of our co-op Mario Party game. It's none other than Tom Dale.
Agu, aga, agu, agu, aga, aga. It's me, everybody's favourite baby Rosalina from the Mario universe. Everyone knows a baby Rosalina. I'm out there with Mario, but I'm a baby, so how do I help? I don't know, but it must be fun in the Mario game. I'm sure everyone wants to play as a baby Rosalina, but baby Rosalina's favourite thing to play as is Brandy. Brandy's... We're at the end game now, so she's there. Whatever happens, happens. And on her team, she has a Lopunny called Wimpy. She has a therapist called Dr. Bunnelby. And she has a Kamoo called King Thrush from Kenny, who traded it to Brandy. Thank you very much, Kenny. And back to my dad... Mario? Is
that
the
Lord?
That's our relation.
No one knows anything about Rosalina.
Who is my dad? Is it this Donkey Kong man? Is it Bigger Boo?
I think you're like part star. Is that right?
Wow. No.
I tell you what, let's look at your birth certificate. Maybe it'll tell us what happened last time.
Previously on Critical Ditto. The Sefloatzel's old pal Artemis decided to, I think, transfer the soul of a Skitty into Cabbage the Kabuto to revive Theo's Kabuto, because we were all too scared to go into the final door. When the trio eventually entered the Sanctum of Solitude, they confronted Frey. and after Brandy's failed attempt at stabbing her with a Celio tusk, Kenny tried to transport them all into Frey's mind palace. But unfortunately, it only half worked. Frey, Kenny, and Brandy were sucked into Kenny's mind palace, where Frey began inserting herself into former memories in an attempt to get Brandy and Kenny to bond with her. Meanwhile, Theo was trapped in Frey's mind palace.
I think we're going to start on the Flash Mullet in the memory scape, this weird shared memory scape of Brandy and Kenny. The initial memory that this was based on was that night drinking hot cocoa on the Flash Mullet, where you all promised to put yourselves before. What did you promise?
This was the one where we put ourselves before Formia.
Yeah, this is us.
A bit like beginning of season four, where we decided to put Formia before ourselves.
Yes, this was end of Bide, wasn't it? Yeah.
This is screw the world. We're the only thing that matters.
Interesting.
And then the world went to shinks. Weird.
Yeah, and it went really bad when we did that.
I blame Tallahassee Bingeworth.
Don't we all?
But yeah, that was the initial memory that Freya tried to hijack and insert herself into, but it was very clear that it wasn't quite taking, it wasn't working. And you guys kind of broke out of the sequence of events and tried to change things. And Darkhen was telling you to try and get to the moon, get out, escape from this place so that Freya doesn't have sway over your inner psyches. So you guys are pelting it towards the deck of the ship with the steering mechanism, where some weird amalgamation of memories and realism and voice and AI has summoned this image of Tyrannius Chunder. And this creature that looks like Tyrannius Chunder, but God knows what it really is driving the ship. You guys are pelting towards it. And Frey, this mystical, dark, misty version of Frey, is pursuing you across the ship. Kenny, Brandy, what do you do first?
We're trying to get up high to the moon. I'm assuming the moon's high. I mean, we're in memory land. It could be anywhere.
It could be anywhere. This is a memory space, right? Yeah. This is not reality. Kenny, you know your mind palaces, bud. You explain.
Brandy, we got to think back. We've been in many mind palaces at this point. What do we know about mind palaces? They can be affected, right? You can conjure things from them. So this is a shared memory that you or I have.
I was going to say they smell weird.
Well, that is also true. That's normally because you've come into mine and I don't bathe. But...
I thought we talked about this on this very ship. I thought we were right here, Brandy, and I said the shower is there. It's amazing that a ship has a shower.
The dark Frey is approaching.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I obviously lied. But look, Brandy, I think I can do something to maybe help us speed up to get to the moon. But just cover me, okay?
Okay, I'm going to try and cover Kenny.
In what?
Water and soap. But also... but what I'm also going to attempt to do is I'm going to try something a bit crazy, Stu. Okay, so feel free to say no. But I'm going to try to conjure an embarrassing memory that happened to Brandy in my hands and throw it at Frey so she gets the secondhand embarrassment and it slows her down.
Okay. Okay. This is a weird move. Is this on your sheet, Tom?
Nope.
Throw memory? Is that... No. No, I like it. You are going to roll weird, though, Brandy. I don't know what your weird stat is.
Oh, that's so bad. That's -2.
-2?
No, it's -1. I've realised it can only be -1.
I don't think any stat can be -2. It can be -1, yeah.
Only Stew can impose a -2.
Brandy, have you ever rolled weird? Is this the first time you've ever rolled weird?
I've never rolled weird, I don't think.
How exciting. That's development, Brandy. You always hated weird. And look at you now, embracing your weird side.
Here I am, conjuring a memory to throw it like a Kamehameha Dragon Ball Z beam. of secondhand embarrassment, where she feels Frey's like, "Oh, that would be that."
Do
would
we
be
know the memory yet, or are we going to decide that when we know what happens with the roll?
Let's decide it when we know what happens with the roll.
Okay.
You might think it's embarrassing, but Frey might think it's hilarious.
Okay, I got a 3 and a 6, so a 9 minus a 1 for an 8. So not bad, mixed success. So I somehow managed to give Frey some secondhand embarrassment.
Okay, I'm going to say that the mixed success. What is the memory, Tom? What is Brandy's embarrassing memory?
Cheerleader camp that she went to where she was 13. We've actually seen it in the Halloween special knockoff.
That same
camp that happened every year.
This was before the camp counselor decided to kill everyone.
Did want to commit murder because of reasons. It makes sense in the episode, folks. Or does it?
Does it?
But But this was one of those where basically Brandy had been picked to be the top of the pyramid and she was really nervous about it. And she confessed her nervousness to an evil cheerleader called Simeon. And she shouldn't say that to Simeon because Simeon was aiming to be top of the pyramid. And
was Simeon a simisir?
Yes.
They did joint cheerleading in the camp.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course. It's the same with school. We were all in maths class together as well. Like that was
just
a weird
sat
place.
Next to a cocoon, I'd be like, do you know the answer?
I'm going to be like, it's too hard. Ironic. Brandy confessed it to Simeon, and he then told everyone, including the coach, Trent Bombadom, because there are no other coaches on the East Coast, coast of Formia. And so Brandy got demoted to base of the pyramid with two Makuhitas.
And then, to top it off, Simeon, the simisir, who was above you in the pyramid, just gave some heat, which caused Brandy to topple the entire pyramid while she was at the bottom.
Exactly. And Simeon was the only one who landed so gracefully that Simeon won a special award for grace and friendship.
Okay.
And that's forever... I don't know why this Simeon isn't the big bad of this podcast. Can I check that Frey isn't Simeon trying to ruin my life?
Interesting you say that, Tom, because you hurl this memory.
Oh, no.
You hurl this memory at Frey. And it hits Frey, and you see her. She's in this dark, mystic, dark state, and it envelops into Frey. And you see Frey, who's been in this chasing mindset, like trying to get you, trying to stop you. And you see these weird white eyes of Frey change and question and then make a decision. And she disappears into the memory, and the memory dissipates. So you've succeeded in that you were trying to slow her down. But Brandy, you notice something in your head. As you try and recall that memory, you try and put yourself back in that day at the bottom of that pyramid. You look down, and it's not Simeon who's next to you in the pyramid. It's Frey. And you feel it. The memory is shifting and changing, and you realise that Frey is altering your memories of this character Simeon and is becoming that character in your mind. She's changed tactic now. She's like, okay, if I can't force to bond with you, I am going to become people from your life and I'm going to replace them.
Oh God, you're Agent Smithing me.
Yep. Okay. So she now in that memory, it is Frey. Frey is Simeon. Simeon's gone. You cannot recall who that person or who that Pokemon was.
Okay, so you know, every cloud is a silver lining.
Yeah, good man. Like, I get the implication that if this was to happen to a different character, not Simeon, this would be really bad for me.
Yeah. So that's the implication. Frey's changed tactic now. She's like, I'm going to start memory hopping.
At that point, Kenny running away from Brandy turns over his head and goes, "Oh, and by the way, don't throw any memories at her. It's kind of her thing. I forgot to say that."
Kenny, she's in my head. She's removed memories. No, she's changed them. She's replaced a person I don't remember.
That's probably bad. I'm going to do what I did the last time I was on the ship in this situation. Kenny jumps off the ship.
Whoa.
Classic.
Okay. To what end? Kenny's like, I give up. Yep. I just give up. I'm gone. See you later. Aim for the bushes.
Brandy, you see Kenny aim for the bushes. And the next thing you see Kenny riding moustache, launch himself off the side of the ship. And in the air, Kenny shouts as loud as he can, "Moustache, tailwind. Give us some extra speed," to try to get the ship to move quicker through the night sky.
Oh, nice. Okay. Roll create an advantage, please, for moustache, Kenny.
Okay. Oh, it's good. It's a total of 12.
Nice.
Okay. So, Brandy, you're freaking out about this memory that's been changed, but you feel the ship lurch as moustache. Gyarados fires this hurricane-like tailwind at the rear end of the Flash Mullet, which forces it through the sky. The weird amalgamation of Tyrannus Chunder lurches against the wheel, but maintains control and starts to turn the ship towards the sky, climbing ever upwards, aiming to break through the clouds themselves like some kind of surfacing whale. Kenny, you feel like it's worked brilliantly. It has fully succeeded, and you break through those clouds and you see the open sky above you, but that moon is still far away and Frey's machinations are still in play, which brings us over to Theo. Because it might be that whatever happens with Theo and Frey also affects what happens over there. Who knows?
Oh, no. Don't fail, Theo, or we'll forget you.
Yeah, that could be really bad.
Oi.
Yay.
Oi. Yeah.
Who's that Pokemon?
Too hard. Orange juice, you good?
No, mate, no. It's been a tough year, man. I'm feeling a bit pulpy at the moment. Do you know what I mean? The bits are juicy and they're swimming around and nobody wants bits.
I'm not going to lie. Orange juice, you're kind of bumming me out a bit here just before I was about to have a nice drink. Or apple juice. Do you want to? Are you good?
You know what? I hate to say this, but I've never been better. I've absolutely never been better.
That figures for apple juice, doesn't it? Go get in a carton and feed yourself to a five-year-old, why don't you?
You know what? Maybe you should be a little bit less concentrated and a little bit more fresh, okay?
I'm vitamin C. I'm pure vitamin C, mate. What do you offer other than sugar content?
Apples,
eh?
I'm the fruit of knowledge, mate. I'm the fruit of knowledge.
Apple a day,
blended.
Keep the doctor away.
Okay, I need to separate this because I don't know how I'm going to... I was going to go with apple juice because obviously...
confrontational.
Much better vibe, but also I'd feel too bad about orange juice's mental state to do this.
My question is, why are you a mango, a literal mango, trying to drink a juice? Is that that's a bit cannibalistic, isn't it?
That's my business, okay? And I will find the all fruit and become it, all right? And in order to do that...
What, by absorbing all of the fruits?
I just want to know why everyone loves orange and apple so much, and mango sits at the side doing nothing. Oh. But guess what? I'm big. I can absorb surely more juice than I have.
You know what, Mango? We could all have an exotic break every so often.
Why don't we all mango to the poles? I mean a midsection.
I got hijacked. Okay, welcome to the midsection. Today, our midsection comes from Ryoshin on the Discord. Ryoshin, thank you very much for
what
your
kind of fruit are they?
Midsection. Them? They're a dragon fruit.
Nice.
Which is pretty cool.
Nice.
But surprisingly, well, we'll see how tasty the midsection is, shall we? Let's see how tasty this dragon fruit is. Ryoshin, I didn't mean that to come across as in any way confrontational than that sounded, but let's read your midsection. Here we go. Been listening to the Pidcast.
The Pidcast. There's some in there.
There's some. That sounds the Pidcast like is good.
Been listening to the Pidcast. The podcast. Do I mean the podcast or the Pidcast?
No, here we go. I'm sure by the time you're reading this, you're in the process of wrapping up the story of Brandy, Kenny and Theo or starting some new characters. Oh, my God. Imagine if we were starting some new characters.
Well, we have. We've got Orange, Apple and Mango. The campaign starts here.
Imagine if Critical Disaster was a roguelite and once all of these characters fail, we just start again as three
different
characters.
The sooner we kill the characters off, the sooner we can start again. Man, we would have killed Kenny ages ago. If that meant we could start again...
Ryoshin writes, anyway, I wanted to put out the idea of a lost ruin that had a Greek Roman mythology inspired poker powers within it, guarding ancient knowledge and treasures. Maybe something akin to a labyrinth, a Medusa inspired poker powered with Ekins, Viper, Superior, or Onyx hair, a Minotaur, Buffalant, or Taurus poker powered, etc. Thanks for the entertainment you provide. Ryoshin on Discord. There we go.
Thank you, Ryoshin. Well, here's the trouble. As Ryoshin correctly implied, we are wrapping up the podcast. There is no room for the Minotaur Labyrinth now in our story. So why is it there? What? It almost feels like a theme park attraction. That it's, you know?
I wonder whether, are we on the ground floor? Someone wants to create a Roman Greek mythology style labyrinth. So they're trying to get investment into this idea.
Oh, so in one of the bunkers across Formia, we've got Ultra Beasts trying to tear down the entrance of the bunker. There is a guy trying to find investment for his Roman-inspired theme park in the midst of this chaos.
That's perfect. That's why he's so happy that war has broken out, because he's got a captive audience.
Captive audience.
Literally. They cannot leave for fear of their life.
Is it a selection of wyvern-specialised trainers all stuck with him and it's the dragon-type den?
Oh, yeah. It's the followers of Dromoxus. Did Dromoxus have followers?
Oh, yes.
I think
so. Must have done.
Well, yeah, they were lost.
There was an armada.
Their leader, they were lost.
The Dragoons. Oh, I love this. Okay. I love this.
So he's ended up in a bunker with the Dragoons, which are the peons, the aeons of Dromoxus.
And yet all Nepo babies with a huge trust fund. So there's a lot of money knocking around. Huge amount of money.
Yeah, yeah. Heron was desperate to join the Dragoons, actually, trying to get Hydreigon off Bash, but never quite made it. And also had to cover up the fact that their family were actually bankrupt now. It was a whole side quest. So who's the guy? Who's the guy pitching to the Dragoons? These wealthy, wealthy Dragoons.
Is it? No. I was going to say, is it Mokuba Kappa? But is Mokuba Kappa dead? Did we kill Mokuba Kappa?
No, Mokuba Kappa's alive.
I
feel like this is a ludicrous adventure.
Can I clarify? Mokuba Kappa is the PT from
the gym empire. But maybe the gym empire's not doing well.
Well, who's working out at the moment? You know?
It's lockdown in the bunkers.
I mean, Tyler's dead, Seto's dead. Those were his only connections.
Those were the people funding the gyms that he was doing. Yep. So now he's got to go out on his own and actually do a pitch.
Oh, man.
So he's picked the next logical thing, one of the Elite Four members.
So the Dragoons were working out in one of Mokuba Kappa's gyms. They didn't know what to do, so they were just trying to get buff.
So they were like, rather than defend the Pokemon League that we've worked for since our boss died, let's just get in this bunker and just
small.
Let's get small instead.
So they were just doing pull-ups.
Very Spartan of them. Very Spartan. Mokuba Kappa was like, I see a connection.
They're all getting ready for that war. They're getting ready for the next war. They're like, look, it's fine to fight this
war, but we're not ready for this one.
We'll fight the next war.
Our deadlift is too weak for this war, but next time we'll be hitting 500 pounds.
Oh, can't do box jumps for Toffee, but next time around.
Next time, honestly, if Frey wants to come back in like 10 years, we will be ready.
Now I'm just picturing a load of like Final Fantasy Dragoons loading up their lances with like barbed plates and just going to town.
As literal children are out there defending Formia, this crack squad of dragon tamers are like, nah, I'm not ready.
We got the orphan with a chandelier, we're fine.
So they were in the gym as the lockdown occurred, and Mokuba Kappa, being part of the Kappa Corp, there were defences. There were personalised defences that Kappa had built into all their buildings so that the gym became a bunker. It just went, shutters down. So they were locked inside. Mokuba Kappa's like, oh my God, this is my opportunity to fight. Forget the gyms, forget Kappa's idea, Kappa Corp and everything. This is time for me to go out on my own. Whatever the Odd Father thinks, I'm going to do my dream. And my dream has always been a Romulus fight labyrinth. He just loves his ancient history.
Great.
Okay. But the question is, do they buy in? Are the Dragoons convinced? Will this be a reality in post-war form?
Stu, can you roll 2d6 for me, please?
Oh, this is a big roll. Am I rolling for Kappa or
you're
for
rolling
the
for
Dragoons?
Kappa. You're rolling plus charm, so that's minus two. Sadly.
Oh, well, it's a mixed success, Tom. It's a 9. Minus 2 is a 7.
That's not bad with a minus
so
2.
So he has to prove he means it. How does Mokuba Kappa... The pitch isn't going great. The Dragoons are too busy. They're curling. They're like, listen, this is not the time for pitching. We're not thinking about funds right now. We're thinking about getting hench. And Mokuba Kappa's... Ali has joined us.
Do you know, I've spent genuinely 5 minutes thinking, I'll join in at some point, but I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, now's your chance, Ali. Now's your chance.
Neither do we, babe.
You are Mokuba Kappa. You played Mokuba Kappa in his one canon scene.
I did do that. Did I hear you say that they want to get, like, Gerard Butler in 300?
Yeah, they're getting buff currently.
I do, yes. I do. I'm the head of the Dragoons. My name is Johnson. Johnson, the son of John. Head of Dragoons. We used to follow Dramoxys, but now we're doing shoulder press.
it's what Dramoxys would have wanted.
It is what he would have wanted. He was not swole enough to survive, but we will be.
If he hadn't skipped leg day, maybe he'd still be here.
Yeah, and yet I fear there is reluctance amongst you to join my empire. Did I not tell you I'm now... I would
Caesar?
Be king of this land. Yes. Wait, my middle name. I am Mokuba Caesar Kappa. That is my name.
Mokuba Caesar Kappa and does what?
Why? Why, Mokuba? Why should we abandon our Metcons and join you in this epic quest for theme park fidelity?
Because this is Formia!
And he kicks one of the Dragoons into a pit.
Into a chair.
One of them falls endlessly. Oh, no. Oh, so the son of John. The son of John gets sent into a pit.
No!
Yeah. Son John, no!
His shoulder presses couldn't stop him. But do you know
just
what,
like
Will? Saying no to me.
Well, wow. I'm convinced.
Mokuba Kappa.
Yes. And it sounds like the labyrinth will probably train us up for the next war anyway, so...
Mokuba Kappa rips off his shorts, revealing incredible thighs. Turns out he's been training this whole time too.
Of course, he's a PT.
I never skip leg day.
He never skips leg day.
Hail Caesar, am I right, fellas?
Hail me.
Wow. Ryoshin, thank you very much for that. We've got another villain, another side story, another great one. Can't wait for the next war. Am I right?
The question to whether Mokuba Kappa is thinking about the Roman Empire? Constantly.
Constantly. That's it. If you have a midsection, Write it down and then delete it because we don't want it anymore. Okay? Just get it out
there. Toss it into a pit to Johnson.
Toss it into a pit. We're done. We're done with them. You can send it to them. To us. Them.
To them? To who?
My assistant.
Who's receiving it?
Them. It's the government. I've forwarded. I know we haven't finished the podcast yet, but I put an auto forward on our emails and it's going straight to the government.
To the UK government.
The UK government.
To the Department of Culture, Media and Sport.
Well, I'm basically just trying to say, look, you need a Pokemon department because there's a lot happening here and I think you need a Minister of Pokemon. In that's which true. Case, could be us. We could do a shared role.
Hang on. Well, there's four of us there. That's an election, Tom. We're all running, right?
Well, campaign two. Who will become Pokemon Minister?
The campaign
for election. The campaign for election for Pokemon Minister. If you want to join the campaign, you could join our Patreon if you want. I mean, as I said, the podcast is coming quite swiftly to an end soon, but if you want that midsection to be read out in the final few episodes, you can do it. We don't have any champion tier patron midsections left at the moment, so we're just going on the queue. So if you were to do it, you could get your midsection in.
Imagine being midsection on the final episode.
Imagine
how cool
being
that
the final episode midsection.
What an honor.
Oh, well, so you could do that. So you could sign up to patreon.com/criticalditto. And yeah, follow us at all the usual places. Anyway, back to the juice situation. Who's this? Ali, what fruit have you turned up as?
Oh, we're doing fruits again.
Fruits, yeah.
Again?
Again? Done,
yeah, we are fruit farmers in an early...
This is totally different. We're personified juices now,
We're actually
Ali.
Juices now. We're different types of juices.
That is very different. That is very different.
Are you the farmer from that sketch?
I am. Oh. I am, and I've come to squeeze all three of you.
Oh, no!
Yay!
Who's that Pokemon?
Too hard.
This is the real Stuart Clark, definitely not a robot imposter. I am here to tell you that it is Kakuna.
Right, so Theo, what are you seeing? You're seeing at the moment in Frey's Mind Palace. I think we said last time that she was descending in black sludge. Quite similar to Kenny in episode 3 or 4 of Raindance, where you were in Kenny's Mind Palace. It's very reminiscent of that. But this creature being enveloped and swimming below it is this dark grey figure who is not engaged with you or anything like that, but is just present within here. What do you do?
So, I've had a long time to think about this.
You have.
So, I'm going to propose like a sort of two-pronged move. One of which
I think
is. Do you
want to share the dock with us, Theo? Do you want, if you bring all, just so
let me just get up my model armies and just sort of move them around the board. So the first thing that I think Theo is going to do is Theo is going to reach out a hand to Frey. Like I think that's the fundamental thing. But I'd also like to do a move that I think will absolutely require a role. And this is that, as you said, Stu, this is very similar to the Ikari Mind Palace in the first arc. And Theo learned something really important from Kenny in that exact Mind Palace, which is the law of equivalent exchange, of being able to make things based off a sacrifice of equal price. So what Theo is going to try and do, similarly to the others, is conjure something, and Theo is going to try and conjure a shield for them by sacrificing the pure incense that they were given, which prevents wild Pokemon from getting
near.
No, you couldn't possibly. So key.
How could you?
David, please, that was Endgame. I had such a good plan.
We go to the Safari Zone in the Denouement? Theo's going to try and repel a wild Darkrai by using a pure incense shield within the Mind Palace.
I get the logic. Yeah. Okay.
I'm just working through the inventory. We've got rid of everything else at this point.
What is this role, do we think? Do we think this is just act under pressure?
I feel
is it
like...
Weird, okay. Yeah, but then does that mean you roll sharp? Or is this? Or does this maintain its weirdness because of where we are?
I mean, I'd love it to be a sharp roll. Technically, that is one of my only improvements as a character, is that all weird is sharp.
Fair enough, Theo. You know, this is your character and this is your move. Let's do it. Let's roll sharp. It's a brainy plan in the weird space.
Thank you. It is a 2 plus a 6 for an 8, plus my sharp roll of a 3 for a grand total of an 11.
Amazing. Nice. Full success.
I have an incredible glass cannon.
So, wordlessly, Theo, you stride through the sludge, through the ichor, towards Frey, uncaring about the Darkrai circling and swimming beneath the Ikari floor. You have a single focus, and that focus is protect and shield in this moment. You are going to set out the pure incense, and you are going to conjure... What do you do? How do you conjure the essence into something? What does... You know, Thea's always got tricks up their sleeves in terms of powders and poultices? What does this look like?
The incenses, as we know, are sort of like an orb containing this fragrance, sort of as an incense tends to be. So Theo takes the pure incense, breaks it apart, as we know Theo's quite a strong person.
Can we just have a moment? Zone. Can we have a moment? Everyone just take a second, yeah?
The sacrifice of the pure incense.
I'd say we'd burn a candle, but it's too soon.
And the incense is now swirling through the air. It's like a sort of pinkish-purplish miasma, at which point Theo is able to control it into a sort of wider, sweeping fog that crystallises into a larger orb around the two of us. It's neither solid nor gas. It's not like we're surrounded by pink diamond. It's just like there is just a very distinct mineral and yet gaseous surrounding of the two of us that gives us a sense that we are away from the dark rides.
Amazing. Okay. And this was a full success, Theo, so you have control over this. Where do you take Frey? You take her out of this Ikari space by forming the shield. You create that small barrier between Darkrai and the Frey inside. So where do you take her? What memory of Frey's do you take her to?
Okay, I'm gonna go a little outlandish, but bear with. I'm gonna take her to the lily pad on the lake that Slowking used to always sit upon. I think she's visited it at some point.
What, almost not knowing why, but she's like, I feel something here. Yeah.
There's a draw, but I think that Theo doesn't even know necessarily that he's gone to a Frey memory. He's gone to, how can I create a safe meditative space for this communication? It just happens that is in the memory bank. And
okay.
We are brought to that lily pad.
Okay, so at what point in Frey's life, is this a sort of childlike Frey, or is this a Frey who's been on the mission for a while and is seeking solace? Post-separation from Gordo, where are we?
I think that Frey probably did not immediately know exactly how to enact her revenge as soon as she saw the ceiling of Gordo. Like, she swore revenge then, she swore fealty to her father, but she's not going to immediately know how to do it. She's not the Frey that we've seen in so many side stories where she's cool, she's calm, she's composed. There's a period of time of just failing. There's a period of time of just trying things and it doesn't work. She is an orphan girl with no resource who is just not succeeding at becoming this cult leader that we know now. So I think in this time of uncertainty and this time of not being able to commit anybody to the bit, she's at a period of, is it worth continuing this? Like, is revenge worth how painful revenge is proving to be?
So maybe this is almost the moment. This is the moment before she makes a deal with the devil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's been, as you say, she's seen the ceiling of Gordo and has spent, you know, a few months, couple of years, who knows, being like, I want revenge. I know I need to achieve that. I must find a way to protect the Poker Power people. I must find a way to get revenge on the Pokemon League, but I don't know how to achieve that. I am lost. I am powerless. And this is just before she starts to accept the fact that maybe there's something in her that she can make a deal with. This vast, unknowable, awful being. If she can somehow convince this being to work with her somehow, she could have the power she needs. And she's come to this lily pad because, as you say, it feeds her some kind of relaxation. It gives her solace in her darkest moments. She's almost come to ask her father, the spirit of her father, what she should do in this moment of great uncertainty before she makes one of the biggest decisions of her life. And she is on that lily pad, sat in a lotus pose, just completely afraid, completely vulnerable. Theo, where are you in this space?
Theo is on the edge of whatever pond this is. So Theo's sort of on the bank, speaking distance away, but there is a body of water between us. Yeah.
And this lily pad as well, I'm seeing this as almost, this is the lily pad Slowking was on when they chose to get rid of the King's Rock as well. It's like, it's the pad of decision. This is the pad of great import.
How did you know my Ludicolo's nickname? Ludicolo! Everyone thinks good on my head.
The lily pad is a Ludicolo. It's just chilling underwater. Like, there's several Ludicolos. They're all playing cards underneath the water. They're having
nice.
A great time.
Nice, that's cute.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do they sound like, Stu?
Ludicolo.
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 Ludicolo. I'll bet my house. No! No! Oh, the pond is yours.
Never go up against Lily Pad Ludicolo.
Okay, so Frey's staring off into the middle distance. I see this is dusk, and she's silent. She doesn't know you're there. She's just staring off. What do you do?
I don't think Theo is entirely sure as to why or how we have ended up in this moment, but Theo is aware that Theo doesn't know who this Frey is. This is not the Frey that Theo was just with. This is a slightly different Frey. Yeah. So yeah. Theo wants to try and like ascertain some information. Who is Theo in this scene to this Frey? Is Frey going to turn around and be like, you? Or is Frey going to turn around and be like, hello, complete stranger? Theo's really hoping for the latter here. Real hoping. Yeah. So yeah. I think Theo's just going to speak aloud as if spotting somebody else in a very normal place. It is just like, I've never seen you here before. Is this one of your favourite places too?
And you see Frey start and take a breath as she notices that you're there and seems completely unsettled as if she's been shaken from a waking dream. Who are you?
Hi.
I've never seen anyone here before.
You're a complete stranger to me.
You are a complete stranger to me.
I know this place doesn't often have people here, but it's a place that's really important to me. So I realise that maybe we've just happened to fall upon each other here in our most important place.
Yes, right. Well, okay. I will go then. I'll leave you to your important place.
No, please.
No, I need to be alone right now. I have terrible, terrible things to think about, and I need not be having conversations. She's starting to go.
Yeah, Theo, not great at social interactions, but there's
this
something
is the
about this.
Here we go.
There's something about this space. This is the Bodhi tree to Theo. Like, this is the thing that Prince Siddhartha sat beneath. There is a knowledge that means that even if like empathy is not necessarily Theo's skill, this is a space that Theo can intuit.
It's something about the way that the Volby and Illumise just dance around the reeds around the pond. It's like they're forming glyphs.
Girl.
Yeah.
Rabbit comes up. Now you see.
La 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 la. Why, oh, why did I play with aces? Hi, la la la.
So Theo uses this intuition and is like, forgive me, if you're here, I don't think you want to be alone.
What do you know about me?
I know that this place is important to you, and I know that this place was important to somebody very important to me. And I don't think anybody would come here unless they know who Slowking is.
You're with the League?
No, very much not.
The way you talk, you know things. You know what happened to my father?
I do.
So you are with the League?
No.
How could you know that then? Only I saw. Only me.
Frey.
Everyone in Formia believes they are heroes. Everyone. Do you know how frustrating that is? How that destroys me inside, knowing what they did and being unable to tell anyone?
I've had a lot of heroes in my life, and every single one of them has failed me. So yes, I do know exactly how it feels to see the people that you trust the most do terrible things. I'm with the church. I'm here because I've always asked questions because of your father.
Are you poker-powered?
Yes and no. I am, but my poker powers exist outside of me. Would you like to meet them?
Yes.
Theo lets out Medicham, who I think at first is absolutely terrified because Frey is literally in front of them, and Theo's like, it's okay.
Medicham's like, catch me up on the last part of the day?
Well, there's a mental link. There's a mental link,
yeah,
isn't
yeah,
there?
Of course, yeah, of course.
Well, Tom, do you want to take Medicham then, if Medicham's coming into the scene?
Mental link, Medicham.
This is Medicham, but I guess Medicham is also me, and I am Medicham.
Theo.
Medicham is Theo, and Theo is Medicham.
You were separated from your powers.
I was, yes.
This world continues to find new ways to surprise me in its cruelty.
I thought it was cruel because it was a surprise and I didn't entirely have a say in it, but I feel incredibly blessed to know that I can trust my powers as completely as I can trust Medicham. And I don't think I could do that if they were a part of me. I think it's dangerous to succumb to things just because you think they're in your head.
I didn't know poker powers existed outside. Father always said that we were safe in the village. We needed to stay in the village. That was why it all went wrong when I left.
Some people were safe, and I think there's a lot of people who are less safe. But that doesn't mean we're in danger. That doesn't mean we're sad.
There are people who should be in danger. And that is what I'm trying to work out. How? How can I right the wrongs because there are so many wrongs.
You've asked a really good question there, Frey, and I'd be lying if I said I had an answer. I keep flip-flopping around on this myself like I'm some kind of Magikarp poker-powered. I keep just thinking vengeance is the right answer and then thinking compassion is the right answer, and then the only choice given to me is vengeance, and sometimes the only option given to me is compassion, and it's never at the time that I want it to be.
Medicham. Medicham picks up a singular twig and then snaps it.
The only thing that I've found to work is unity.
And then Medicham gathers a lot of twigs and fails to snap the twigs.
Unity, forming bonds with others, whether that's Medicham or with my friends, but I think when you disappear inside yourself and think you're the only person who can solve it, that's the worst option of all, even if it's really, really tempting, particularly around small children who just will not shut up. Like, really, they really need to be taught to let... Mm. Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. You're right, yeah.
I don't know what struggles you've been through. I'm sure if you were a poker pirate existing outside of the village, they were monumental. But I have found no one who has suffered like I have. And I have been able to bond with no one. So I'm left with no choice. I cannot share my story with anyone. Nobody believes me. The village is gone. So I am left on my own. With the tools that I have. And there is a tool that I can use. And I'm on the brink of accepting whatever deal that tool offers to me. Because I have no one. I have no one.
You have someone now, Frey. What's the deal that's being offered to you?
Medicham psychically floats Theo up so Theo can walk on the water now.
Cheers, babe.
I have great power inside me. But I have kept that power at bay because it scares me. It's the reason that all this happened in the first place. But I think that if I offer the nightmare inside me a deal, offer it something, retrieve something for it, then it will give me the power I need to protect those I want to protect and smite those who need to be smited.
Oh, it's really tempting when there's something inside that's so much stronger than what you're doing, but Frey, I cannot stress enough. Sharing the burden is the only thing that's going to solve it. Not giving in to your most dangerous impulses. And I know you're not being metaphorical. I know you're being literal about this force inside you. I know, but vengeance isn't the answer. Violence isn't the answer. But changing the world in kinder ways, that can be the answer.
But I can't do it anymore. I've been alone for so long.
Think about how long your father was around on his own. There was nothing for so long.
I miss him so much.
I'm so desperate to miss him too, to meet him, to understand how amazing he must have been. But if he could wait, I think he would want you to wait too.
Are you sloking?
This is not the time to be flirting with me, Frey.
Medicham.
No, you're right, absolutely. No, I'm not sloking, but I am... Well, I'm probably as close as anybody on Earth is going to get to being a representative. I'm the O of the Church of Sloking.
It would be so much easier to just stop fighting it.
It would also be so much easier to stop fighting the world. You just gotta choose which one.
I think it might be time for a roll.
Right, is this a charm roll?
I think this is Theo's big charm roll.
The lunchtime gods smile upon me. It is a 5 and a 5 with a flat roll for a 10.
Oh!
Huge. Huge.
Oh,
absolutely
yes.
Huge roll.
Oh my
That's
gosh.
It. We defeat Darkrai. Great. Well done, David. He says no to him.
Well,
problem solved.
The Frey in this memory does Theo, you've hovered over to Frey on this lily pad, right?
Yeah.
Frey doesn't know who you are, and in this moment, actually doesn't care. And she reaches up and embraces you. And you feel this weight and this darkness and this tension lift from her shoulders, Theo. Do you embrace back? Well, how do you respond to that?
I think Theo is at first put off by human touch. Like, first of all, it's just like, ah.
Of course.
And then is confused because, you know, that feeling when you're really worried that somebody's going to see you do something and judge you. Like, you know, you have like an intimate moment with somebody, like, oh my God, what if my partner walks in, or like a friend walks in and sees what's happening here? But I know that this is innocent. I think that Theo is like, what if Kenny and Brandy are somewhere in the scene or somewhere visible, and in some way this is going to look like some kind of compliance? But I think that Theo is overwhelmed by the relief of having had such a good interaction, quote unquote, and embraces Frey back.
And in this moment, you feel that Frey. That Frey from that memory has almost schismed herself from the timeline. Like, she is, that is a different Frey. That is a Frey that would walk a different path. And the memory starts to dissolve around you. The reeds, the rushes, the lily pads, and the pond all melt away.
Medicham kind of force palms, but gently, the darkness, the sort of floating, ghosty, dark grey shadow, force palms it out of Frey in this memory space.
We cut back to Kenny, Brandy, you're on the ship.
And we're saying, remember, don't trust any memories. Never embrace Frey, Brandy. That's the one rule.
Yeah. Oh, God. I will never hug her. Mark my words. None of us will.
Never do it. Anyone that does that, I would judge them so hard.
The Frey actually returns to the space you're in. And as you crest out of the clouds, like a whalmer bursting through the surf, you see this cloudy black Frey bursting through the clouds next to you. And this version of Frey is in tremendous pain. I think at this point, she has abandoned the memory-altering idea. Simmy was the only casualty in this moment because that scene went pretty well.
Yes.
So her final moment
is... Well done,
Theo. It's a desperation now. It's like, I just want to stop this ship. So she is just going to come on and claw at the ship. Brandy, you're the one on the ship, aren't you? So please, what are you doing as Frey comes and just tries to fire this final force of dark energy at the ship to try and stop it as it shoots towards the moon in the sky?
Do I have my Pokemon here from the outside?
Totally.
Yeah, I do.
All right.
Totally.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so I think now I'm going to call upon the mighty Go! King Thrush! And I'm going to release Kamuo.
Where is Kamuo, Tom?
Where is Kamuo? Kamuo is on my Pokeball. As is, okay. Why?
As is tradition.
Oh, no.
It's just in my memory.
What's in your memory?
Kamuo was super depressed back in the tree, and nobody ever kind of cared about him afterwards.
No. So,
and specifically, Kamuo was worried about feeling abandoned.
Oh, no. Was he? Oh, no. We abandoned him.
He's gone. Nobody solved his depression arc, and therefore he is still in the tree, surrounded by cast forms, just going like, I knew it. I knew it was true.
So Brandy
They'll
goes,
never come back to me.
Brandy goes, go, King Thrush, and then reaches and finds no Pokeball there, and is like, oh, I mean, and then looks at Kenny and is like,
yeah, Brandy, use him. He'll be really good right now. You've got him with you, right?
I don't know. I think tactically, maybe it's not back. I don't know. Maybe
Brandy,
this is.
It looks like there's only two Pokeballs. Did you forget Dr. Bunnelby back in the tree?
No, Frey looks like an ice type. I don't think this is the right.
Icy. Cut back to Brandy leaving the tree at the end. Just be like, is this something I. Okay, like, Brandy, come on, what are you doing?
Oh, nope, don't think we've forgotten anything.
Asta's walking out the door, she's like, bye.
Walks past Kamuo in the corner.
Kamuo, they'll come. They'll be back. Yes, they're going to solve my storyline soon.
Kenny wouldn't
yes.
trade me to someone who would casually forget about my existence. If I recall, Kamuo was very key in the Office episode, the last episode we did, where...
Was he?
They did, yeah. He did the boom burst that with the exploding flower.
The crucial boom burst. Yeah,
the
okay.
boom burst that made the exploding flower that was sensitive to noise exploded to people's faces.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry that I forgot a crucial part of your impeccable plan, Tom. Yeah, totally. The boom burst that exploded the donuts. And that was Kamoho.
That was Kamoho.
We can confirm.
I can confirm.
Oh, muck. No, it wasn't.
No. What do you mean,
Brandy,
no?
I'm cashing in the fail. I'm cashing in your Brandy fail. Yep.
Mate. Yep.
I'm sorry, this moment feels right. And do you know what? It wasn't. It wasn't actually... it wasn't King Thrush. It wasn't King Thrush. It was...
Who was it?
It was... it was a human. It was a human who got trapped in the office, dressed as a Kamoho. It was Bertie. Bless Bertie.
Poor Bertie.
Bertie wasn't even an archaeologist. Bertie just stumbled into the tree one day. He was the assistant of the doctor. You know that doctor? The tree surgeon?
I don't know any of these. This is madness.
Who got stuck in the roots. It was his assistant who went into the tree to try and help the tree surgeon, ended up getting stuck in the normal office and turning
drunk,
into a Kamoho.
You're drunk with power. So you're telling me I can't use King Thrush?
No, so it wasn't King Thrush. You mistook yourself. King Thrush was left behind. See, that's how much you forgot about King Thrush, Brandy, is you actually mistook a human being. After all the shinks you gave Kenny for not being able to identify Pokemon in the last episode. No, it was you. You forgot.
I abandoned him so bad.
So bad. Like proper abandonment. So King Thrush is still in the tree, and I've cashed in that fail, Brandy. I don't know if there's a jingle for that. I'm going to do it now. You suck.
Way to make a fail feel worse.
Mother of sloking, Brandy.
Can we talk about this later, Kenny? I've got a better idea, actually. I am going to summon a memory again, but this time...
What? No, we literally said that's something
It's not a memory of a person. This time, I am going to try and summon the memory of the ruler sword, and I'm going to attempt to chop... phrase clawing slash from her with my Sword of Memories.
Oh, that's pretty sick.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, anime.
Okay, this isn't Sword of a Thousand Truths, is this? This is your new attack, which is called...
Which is called the Abandonment Guilt Slash.
Oh, nice. Okay. Roll? What is this? It's weird. It does feel weird again. You're summoning a Sword of Memories in a dreamscape.
I mean, a sword's pretty sharp.
That's true.
Kidding.
You have to be pretty tough to wield one.
Yeah, exactly. It's also very cool. Like, let's not forget how cool this looks.
And if you think about it, it's kind of charming.
It's a very charming moment.
That sword just winked at me.
Now, check this sword out, am I right?
No, it's weird. It's weird. You're rolling weird again.
Oh, dear. I have rolled. Dun, 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 dun. I get a minus one to it. A four and a four for an eight, minus one for a seven.
Scraping these weird rolls.
Okay, Brandy, describe how this slash successfully separates Frey from the ship, who has clawed on with these shadow claws.
I think the shadow claws are on, and she's really fixed on slowing the ship down. And Brandy's ruler sword appears in her hand, and the absolute guilt of abandoning King Thrush means that it's sort of imbued with a sort of like deadly bright light that just chops cleanly both these claws from Frey's sort of, I imagine, ethereal body. Somewhere out there, the scream reaches all the way up to King Thrush with the cast forms, and he sometimes thinks in his mind, he goes, someone remembered me. Somewhere in the distance, I was in someone's thoughts.
There is hope.
There's a light of hope within. And I think that's it. The sword just immediately disintegrates and flies off to King Thrush and goes back into their heart.
Oh my god, King Thrush gets a sword. Yes, absolutely.
But Brandy, it's a mixed success. So describe to me how you get thrown off the ship.
You're
sort of like, are you clinging on? Are you falling? There's something that happens, obviously, physically to you that puts you in danger.
Yeah, so I think Brandy jumps onto the railing of the ship to chop the the things off, and I think then the two hands, the two shadowy claws, are still in the ship, and they suddenly turn into tendrils that then whip around to like knock her from the railing as well as they get returned into the ethereal mist that is Frey.
Unless we could go mixed success, it could be that Frey does try to replace someone else. But I sort of feel like we've moved past that now, haven't we?
Yeah.
Do we think that's... Yeah.
Yeah. I don't need to forget anyone.
No, forget that.
I love my friends.
Okay.
I'd pick Hedrold. So there's no point.
There's no point. So Brandy's clinging on to the side of the Flash Mullet, which is still hurtling towards this moon, Kenny. What do you do?
God, the deja vu in this episode.
Kenny!
Don't worry, Brandy, I'm coming.
I'm sorry about King Thrush, I didn't mean it.
Wait, what about King Thrush?
Nothing!
So I guess I dive bomb down towards her to, well, pick it up to safety, I suppose.
Yeah, okay.
I'll pick her up and I'll put her on the back of Moustache as well.
Okay, roll, and we'll say this is the roll to get out. Let's go, let's go.
Let's get out!
Let's ride that tailwind, baby. Yeah, it's a cool roll. It's a cool roll.
I think Kenny's a +1 in cool, and I rolled... Oh, yes.
Oh, thank God.
It's good. It's good. I rolled a 10 plus a 1, so an 11.
The rolls this episode.
The rolls have been good today.
Okay.
The dice know we're at the end game.
So, Kenny, please describe you saving Brandy, getting her back on the deck.
Gyarados dances his way down. Absolute, like, the tendrils are flicking left, right and centre, but he swoops to the left, he sashays to the right, he shimmies over to the side. Kenny's like, whoa, on the back. And at the last moment, he plummets, goes underneath the ship so fast, actually, the wind knocks Brandy off and Brandy thinks, well, Kenny's killed me. I always knew it would come to this.
I'm dead.
And when she opens her eyes, she's actually on the back of this blue-scaled serpentine figure that is fast, that is flying alongside the Flash Mullet as the three of them then land on the deck and grab on as it sort of hurtles towards safety, towards an ever-growing crescent moon.
And as you get closer and closer to the moon, you hear the voice of Cresselia of Dark Ken going, yes, now, escape, escape, and you collide into the moon.
Tyrone's trying to like, you want me to... What, crash into the moon?
Yep, keep going. I'm sure there'll be no repercussions.
It's a good thing me and you had that conversation just before this, Kenny, where you said to trust you because I wouldn't do it otherwise. But by damn, for you, kid, I'll crash my ship into the moon.
Full speed ahead, my love! And it slams into the moon, but it breaks through almost like a set.
Calico opens the door just before... What is...
And you shatter through the moon and all of you return at the same time. It happens at exactly the same moment. Both memories disappear and you return and you're on the floor. You've been prone all this time. Brandy, the pain that you feel from that infliction of wounds that Frey did to you returns to your body. Theo, Kenny... You find yourself getting up, and Frey is just across from you, also doing the same. The ditto, checking on her. It's taking the form of a Chansey, and he's like, Chansey, what's going on? What's happened? Did it work? Is it happening? And Frey's just slowly rising. And she turns to you, three of you.
Brandy says, Simeon, it was you all along! Kenny, don't trust him. He'll knock you off the pyramid faster than you could say 5, 6, 7, 8. Who do we appreciate?
And she begins to try and fire a pulse, but Theo, she locks eyes with you. And she's like... I can't do it. I can't.
Theo, did something happen?
Well, I don't want to toot my own horn. But yes.
Oh, you didn't. Not with Frey, right?
Did you get someone else to bond with her? How did you do it?
Medichan may have been there, all right, but okay. Mainly it was me, okay? I've overcome a lot in the
journey. You taught Medichan to bond with Frey. God, you are good at this.
And this Frey now, the eyes sunken, the face sallow, her body like twigs with crust, white crust on it, this decaying form. She's like, why can't I do it? Why?
Do what?
I can't kill you. I can't kill Theo and I can't kill you because I know what they mean to Theo.
Thank you, Frey.
So you did bond?
Is that what this is? Is that what this is?
Yeah. I'm sorry to say,
This is good, Frey. This is what you wanted. You wanted to bond.
But I can't do it.
Do what?
I can't open the door for it. I failed. I failed everyone.
I'm confused. What do you mean you can't open the door?
I can't break the bond.
It's the riddle, Kenny. It's the way to get to the King's Rock. You have to break the unbreakable bond, but how do you break a bond if it's too strong?
Is this what it is? Is this what you have?
What, be willing to put everything on the line for the people that you love?
Yes.
Yeah, that sounds like pretty much what we got.
I've lived my entire life without feeling this. And she locks eyes with you, Thea. In my waning moments, you gifted me this. And it hurts, but thank you. Thank you so much. And she looks to each of you. I'm so sorry. I'm so, so sorry. And then at that moment, her back arches. And you see the human form of Frey just tear.
Oh, and God.
The blackness that has been within her this whole time just bursts forth. The being within has lost patience, and just as Frey unlocked so many people via the chest, Frey's chest bursts open and this blackness just flows out and starts enveloping her and wrapping her, and her eyes turn into this deep azure. She's no longer human. That is gone. All that's left now, it's not the form of the Dark Ray we know. It's Dark Ray that has taken over Frey. It's Dark Frey. And Dark Frey looks to you all and speaks with a Frey voice that is hit with bass and tonality and distortion, and just says to you all,
time's up.
There we go. Dark Frey is here. The finale is in full swing. Will we make it out alive? I don't know. I genuinely don't know. We haven't recorded it yet, so maybe? Thank you so much to everyone for listening and joining us on the final stretch of the podcast. I cannot believe we've made it. I would like to say a big thank you to our patrons. Thank you to VV89, Alex Dominguez, Misjudged Plush, Daisy, Dalton Fett, Bannon, Green Pikmin, Mew, Curtis Hovey, Joseph Tibbs, Freya, Lily Gilder, Rosie Skies Ahead, Christy, White Phoenix 52, Bloke Person, Mega Noodle, Nicholas and Rubio, Zachary Turing, Elena Mialov, Mr. Man, Anorak, Purple Turkey, Lord Toffee, Not That Nick, Anthony Rubin Stanley, Anthony Robin Stanley, Rubin is your father's name, Brandon Wood, Carlton, Tommy Portillo, Aidan Clark, Inclusive Investor, Sandy Swain, Mark Smith, Brad Demon Dowker, My Cabbages, Dr. Rani, Jerembi's Mum, Dig Easy, Ollie, Alex W, Crispy, Huxley Spicer, Bess Chivers, Jam, Heather L. Snell, Megan Taylor, Betsy Lewin Lee, Ryan Teague, Darius Jakowski, Poker-55, Ellie Lieberman, Jerembi, Turtle Lover 224, Carrie Morrison, Martin Blackwood, Scott M, Dr. Megaman, PhD, Hi Killy, Kego Pin Cosplay, Big Fat Nuke, Jonah Jackson, Trigula, Alchemage, Cesar Trevino, Force Majeure, Ryan Mitchell, GGT, Cran and Creations, Eric Eichinger, Millamoire, Ginny Voss, and Alistair Collinson, aka The Game Master. I think I accidentally read everyone who's ever been a patron. That's a lot of people. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Thank you to everyone. I would also like to thank Braxton Burks and the Materia Collective for the use of their albums, Canto Symphonies, Johto Legends, Time and Space. And I'd also like to thank Glitch X City for their remixes, the use of their brilliant Pokemon remixes. I would also like to thank Michael Sands, the creator of
Monster of the Week, which we base Pocket Monster of the Week on. Thank you very much, Michael. I would also like to thank Jinichi Master and Satoshi Tajiri for creating a little thing I call the Pokemon. I create them all. So thank you, but a reminder, we are not affiliated with Nintendo, Game Freak, or the Pokemon Company in any way, as we are a not-for-profit podcast. And finally, I would like to thank David, Stu, Ali. What a journey it's been on. 5 years, I believe. Wow. Well, thank you very much. Remember, go catch them all. And by all, I mean your dreams.
I knew the Me Too movement would come to bite us in the arse.
Four men doing a podcast for over 4 years? Are you kidding?